morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, or whatever time you are listening to this podcast at. Welcome to the Post-Production Podcast. My name's Rachel.
And my name's Kiri.
And you are listening to the 100th episode of Post-Production.
Yes. And it's also this, we didn't do this on purpose, but this also almost perfectly lines up with our third anniversary as well. Because it was February 1st was when we released our very first episode. And we're just a few days away from that.
True that. Wow.
Getting pretty close.
Yeah. 3 years and 100 episodes later, I cannot believe we're here.
So it's a 2-in-1 100th third birthday.
I love it. So true that.
So here we are. Anything exciting happen in the production world?
I mean, hey, there are always exciting things happening in the production world. Let's see. I mean, as I was telling you before we started recording, part of my job is working events because I work in church production a lot of the time. And this morning I ran an event with an entirely female crew.
Yeah.
All women on the production team and the band and the speaker. It was super awesome. Something we've talked about a lot in this podcast is the world of production is really awesome, but it also is a world that is often really heavily skewed towards men.
Yeah.
And so something we're passionate about here on Post-Production is just talking about the meaning of female representation within the world of production, because it's really important for women to see other women succeeding in production and event technology. So even though, you know, me running a little Saturday morning event with a female crew may not seem like a huge deal, it just is a really exciting thing to look back on and say, like, wow, like, look at women being in spaces where women normally aren't. Like, that's really exciting.
Yeah, that's really cool. I don't know if I've ever been on an all-female crew, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm often the only female on the crew.
I was going to say, I think usually it's the all-male crew plus Rachel.
Yeah, all-male crew plus Kiri. Yep.
Yeah.
That's how it normally goes.
Yeah, so that was kind of a cool thing. Let's see, what else did I get up to this week? Well, hey, working in the world of church production, now that we have survived Christmas, the Easter checklist went up a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
So we're starting to brainstorm for our other like big service of the year, which is Easter, which is kind of crazy. This will be my first Easter working at a church full time.
It'll be interesting.
Kind of like Christmas. I'm not sure I totally know what to expect. I just know that like it probably will take a lot of hard work over a lot of weeks leading up to it.
Yeah.
You know, we're still running services every week while we're prepping for big things like Easter to come up, which can be a lot, honestly, on church staff. But it also is really cool to like get to sit back and see what you've been able to pour into, I guess.
Yeah, I haven't really done much these last couple weeks because I've been sick, I guess. I don't know. I haven't been able to work quite as much. But I heard about an event that happened that I was almost going to help with and then I couldn't. So apparently it was this organization and they were very, very disorganized, but they were super nice. So,
oh boy.
I mean, that's nice, but they had no idea what we needed. There was supposed to be a PowerPoint presentation. They did not have that. So apparently they built the presentation while the show was happening.
Oh.
And finished it right before the main speaker was supposed to go up. Oh, also they were sound checking the choir like at 6:45 when the event was supposed to start at 6:30, you know.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then the choir was supposed to be the last thing, but they ended up running late. So the event was supposed to go until 8 o'clock, and at like 9:45 they were like, okay, time for the choir. But the showrunner was like, we're done. Everybody can leave. So they'd already sent the choir home and started closing the curtain, and people just got up and left. So it was,
yikes,
apparently quite a thing.
That's like kind of a next level disaster.
Yeah, my boss called it the worst show he has ever worked ever in all of his years.
Something.
Yeah. But they were really nice and a little too nonchalant about the whole thing, which is probably why it was so disorganized.
Huh.
They were like, oh, yeah, sure, you can do this. We don't care.
I will say, I feel like, I don't know what your experience has been, but I feel like sometimes, ironically, like, the nicest clients are always the ones who come in completely unprepared
mm-hmm.
and or late and just generally, like, yeah, like, having kind of a disorganized operation going on.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like sometimes, like, the clients that are kind of the most, like, brisk or rude with event staffers are the ones who come in, like, fully prepped and running their event like a machine is giving orders. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
so sometimes it's just fascinating because it's like you want your event to be running efficiently and, like, you want your event to be well prepared. But at the same time, it's interesting how sometimes, and again, I emphasize sometimes because this is not prescriptive. Like, not every event is like this. But I feel like in my experience, often the nicest people are the ones that have fairly disorganized events.
Yeah, I've worked student events. So yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's the other thing my boss said. He was like, this is the worst show I've ever worked in my life. And I've worked student events. Most disorganized. Yikes.
I will say, though, I feel like sometimes the exception to that observation is, like, when you have an event that becomes so disorganized that it gets stressful for, like, the people on stage or the people involved. Because sometimes the people are really nice because they just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once an event gets disorganized and people get stressed out, then the niceness can fade away.
Yep. Yep. And the lady in charge was like, some of my people are going to get chewed out after this because, man, that was pretty bad.
I will say there's that rule, if you will, about, like, if you're dating someone and, like, want to see if they're a good person, look at how they treat their mother.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a similar rule could maybe be if you want to see someone's true nature, look at how they treat their event support staff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm, like, a little bit joking, but not a lot joking. I think it's very true.
And like I said, those people were very nice. They just were very unprepared, which was not great.
Right, right.
Yeah, something else I've been doing because of my condition, I've been eating like a rabbit. So just like fruits and veggies and rice and like oatmeal. I also added like beans and poultry because I can do that. So get some protein in me. But I've been watching, I'm to the point where I'm watching YouTube videos of other people eating things that I can't.
Oh gosh.
So it's like, I think I've mostly gotten over the craving for like a slice of pizza or something like that. But yeah, I've been watching Worth It, to like the BuzzFeed show. What they do is they go, and it's since moved to a different channel because the guys who made it left BuzzFeed, as many people have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, these two guys go to different restaurants at different price points. So like cheap, somewhere in the middle, and expensive. And they try the same dish, basically the same dish, at all those different price points and decide which is the most worth it, you know? So it'll be like $1 pizza versus, I think it was like $4,000 pizza or something like that. It's a really entertaining show on YouTube and it makes me hungry.
Hmm.
But I have thought that is something I would love to film and to just experience, like going to all these different local establishments, trying their food, talking to the owners about like how they started the place and things like that. Like that is something that I have always wanted to do. Well, not always. I think that started when I watched a documentary showing. I worked a documentary showing that was locally made about a local Asian market / restaurant. And it was so interesting. I was like, this is something that I want to do. I would love to make like little stories about just the people and their businesses and their food and the different cultures represented here. I just think that's so interesting.
Yeah, I really like, I've been very much on a documentary kick, which I To be honest, I am always on a documentary kick.
I was going
to
say, what's new?
I've kind of extra been on a documentary kick recently.
Lots of Netflix documentaries or what?
Yeah, Netflix documentaries. I blasted through Hulu's documentary section and there were some that were all right and the rest of them I was just not impressed with.
Okay.
But like kind of watching through Netflix's documentaries, like there's always that fascinating thing of like trying to balance like what is content that I like just want to consume and like leave it there? And like, what is content that I aspire to make?
Yeah.
Cause like I have the same thought, like being a musician, I have the privilege of being around really, really good live music a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And I also have the privilege of hearing like awesome recordings, both of like local artists near me and friends, but also like popular artists who are releasing great stuff as well. And like something I've always considered like being a musician is like listening to music and I'm like, man, like this music is so good, but it's like I enjoy it so much that it's like, is this music compelling to me because like I want to make music that is similar or similarly compelling, or is this music compelling to me just because I enjoy consuming it so much? And like that's kind of the question I've been asking of myself recently with documentary filmmaking. Is it because if you think about it, like we're a nonfiction podcast.
As far as you know.
and in the past, we've had like, you know, pretty educational episodes. And I think still to this day, like kind of a cornerstone of what we talk about is just to educate people about like what we do. Watching documentaries, it's like watching the visual version of a podcast.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I like that.
But it's like kind of extra cool because documentaries do this really beautiful thing where they like weave together B-roll footage and interviews and crazy like live updates and all sorts of stuff. Like, I don't know. Documentaries are just really fascinating to me. And like sometimes I watch them and I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to be a documentary filmmaker so badly. And other days I watch them and I'm like, no, like I could just like enjoy watching these forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe one day we will produce a documentary together.
True.
I do love me an archaeology documentary. Archaeology and like food. Those are my top two genres.
That's funny. That's like the opposite of my top two documentary genres.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, okay, I'm not going to lie.
You do like true crime stuff, right?
I mean this in no offensive way possible, but food documentaries are like my least favorite kind of documentary.
That's fine. I'll have them for myself.
No, that's so fair. I will say like I've watched food content that is like really interesting, right? Because there are a lot of really, really beautiful food documentaries out there.
Yeah, it's like the stuff like I was saying, like going to different restaurants and like meeting the owners and understanding the food.
Yeah, like that. And there are a couple topping the Netflix pages right now that are like, you know, people traveling to different places around the world and like trying their food.
Yeah.
Like that stuff, that is really interesting. And like, that's awesome content that people are making. I really enjoy history documentaries.
Yep.
Because I'm a dweeb.
Oh, we're both dweebs.
Yeah. I really enjoy science documentaries.
Oh, yep. Like me, a good science documentary. Yep.
Yeah. Here and there, like, I do enjoy true crime, but I try not to like, because I'm very visual. And so what I watch like really sticks in my brain.
Yeah, that's why I don't like
sometimes,
true crime.
Like, yeah, I'll enjoy like a true crime documentary here or there with my roommate, especially if like the people giving interviews are like super interesting or have crazy stories or whatnot. People love a mystery they can't solve. Mm. But it also like raises the question, and I read a really interesting, I think a New York Times article about this the other day, about kind of the ethics of the true crime genre. Because I will admit, like, I watch true crime documentaries, like, here and there. And I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts. Because, like, I, like, the average American, am really, really fascinated by, like, ooh, a mystery I can't solve or whatnot. And I really enjoy, like, forensic science, like, criminology.
You know, I used to think I wanted to be a forensic scientist.
I'm not surprised that you used to think that. It's, like, right up your alley.
Yeah, well, now I'm glad I didn't go down that path.
Yeah, but like the article I read basically talked about like, look, how ethical is it actually for us to all consume podcasts about people's deaths and disappearances, like families' tragedies, like it's like entertaining content.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, I was really like convicted by the article, if you will. Cause I listened to true crime podcasts.
Cause like if we were in that position.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if I had a family member who was murdered or went missing, I wouldn't want millions of people listening to a bunch of podcasts dissect the case. I'm already devastated. I don't need people being entertained and finding enjoyment in my tragedy.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. But at the same time, like, I think there's a difference between like true crime podcasts that are for entertainment versus like investigative journalism.
Right. Yeah.
Because there are some really, really like award-winning podcasts out there that have solved murders. And those are really fascinating because they're very different from entertaining true crime podcasts. Like, you'll have a podcast where a journalist basically pounds the pavement for 8 months, putting in public records requests and interviewing family members and like doing all this stuff. And then, like, what do you know? Surprise, surprise, 3 months later, someone is arrested and convicted for whatever crime the journalist was investigating. Whereas, like, there are a lot of shows out there where it's like two white women dissect some famous crime. Yeah. Like they're like reading a nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
So
that's it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This is quite the tangent we've ended up
on. Yeah. I might cut down some of that.
Yeah, go for
it. But in the spirit of our 100th episode, we don't mean to bring you down with true crime.
True.
But
because we are not a true crime podcast.
No, we are not. We are actually a media production podcast. And we have decided to open up this podcast to you and give you the opportunity to ask us some questions. So we have some questions, and we also have some would you rathers and some there are tens. So we'll start with just the questions. What you got, Rachel?
Okay, here's a good one. Favorite project in the past year for both of us?
In the past year? Okay.
Yeah.
So basically of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like 2022 I haven't really done any like big projects. You go first.
Like thing that comes to mind for me is I talked about it on the podcast a while ago, but my swap in April of 2022.
Oh yeah.
Was like
senior worship arts performance.
So true. I did essentially like, I guess I'd call it like mixed media live show, exploring like some theological concepts and whatnot. It was very like dramatic and artistic, but there was like live music and there was like some video content mixed in. And like we did a lot of work going into it, both on like the video content and on designing the live elements of the show. Everything from the lighting to the programs was very deliberate.
And it was very great to watch.
Thank you. Yeah, I think for me, that was like kind of my most fulfilling creative project of 2022.
Yeah, well, and that was huge too.
Yeah, I spent basically 5 months working on it.
Right, like the entire semester. I did help with the video a little bit. Felt like I was just standing there most of the time, but hey, I was there.
Kiri did help.
And we did go to a cafe and have like a really nice warm sandwich. What did I have? No, I had quiche.
That was so good.
So I thought of a couple of things. There was a Lunar New Year show that was kind of fun. It was put on by a student group. And again, like they weren't very prepared. This is one where they just showed up. They were like, hey, we have these instruments, even though they only requested like the podium microphone and the projector.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, ah! But that one was a lot of fun. But I also thought of, we had a party princess performer dressed as Mirabel from Encanto, sing We Don't Talk About Bruno in our event center. And you know I went all out with the lights on that.
Iconic.
So I had a lot of fun with that. Like I matched the colors to each character because in the song, like pretty much every character has a solo. I had fun with like changing the colors and the gobos and moving the lights around, doing some fun effects and things like that. So that was a lot of fun. And it was for children. So I think there was the point where she starts talking about the one where he's like, 7, 4, 3, blah, 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 blah. I turn the lights green and do these like gobos to look like fog and things like that. And the kids screamed when that happened. It was awesome. And at the end, like, I did like an instant blackout and everyone was like, "Wah!" It was awesome. My best audience for sure.
That is so fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, but don't you love just like the honest reactions to your work?
Yeah, kids will give you like the most honest reaction.
Like, adults are too self-conscious to vocalize when they're like struck by something.
Yeah.
Whereas like kids will not be afraid to like react to what is happening on stage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, another big project. We did a craft fair, but for like crafters and engineers, and it was like a whole showcase, and that took months of preparation, and I was very involved in that. I maintained the website and the social media presence, and the like, there was a little bit of lighting involved, but not much, and just like keeping track of registrations and things like that. And that was a huge project, but it was a lot of fun once we finally got to it. That's a little less media production, a little more just general event planning type stuff, but there was media involved, and that was me. I did go around and like take videos of everybody, so I made a little compilation at the end of it.
Nice. Next question.
What's been your biggest learning experience doing the podcast?
Oh, interesting. Honestly, I would say looking back,
Record Zoom audio.
Looking back at 3 years and 100 episodes of podcasting, I still to this day think our biggest learning experience was the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't think we had really, like...
We had just
Kiri
started.
And I had not talked through, like, any form of, like, how we would ever record remotely or anything.
Because we didn't think we would need to.
Because at the time, we didn't have a need. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
we had
like,
so much more energy back then.
Yeah, we were not really prepared to record remotely, especially not on such last minute notice.
Right.
So I think we learned a lot through our like slow growth through recording remotely, which then like set us up well to be able to continue the podcast even now that we live 1,000 miles apart.
Yeah, literally.
So it was a learning experience. We didn't know we needed at the time, but that set us up well for the continuation of the podcast, which is really awesome.
Yeah, episodes 12 through like 20 or something are our Zoom audio episodes.
Which is crazy that it was that early in the podcast that we went remote.
Mm-hmm. Well, we started recording in January and we recorded 2 a week for a while. So we got way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And then just... I think around like mid-February, midterms rolled around and we kept trying to like schedule times to record more episodes, and then we couldn't and we couldn't and then we couldn't, and then school shut down. And then so we had a lot of content ready. So even though some of those early episodes overlap with when lockdown came into effect, we don't mention it and we don't act like we're, you know, like our lives have been turned upside down rather suddenly until much later, because we recorded those before. We had so many dreams and...
Oh my gosh. That makes it sound so dramatic. We're both doing great.
We're still... Yes,
we'll
we're actually...
Be okay.
Yes.
We're living
we're
the dream.
We're doing great. We are doing exactly what we wanted to do.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I definitely like experienced major personal burnout through the pandemic, which I think a lot of people burned out. Like...
Yeah.
Like a lot of people had that realization, like once they did quarantine, they were like, oh, I've been burnt out. And the pandemic like kind of is giving me the time to realize how tired I am.
Yeah.
Which I definitely had some of that. Like, I mean, I was in my third year of undergrad by that point.
Second.
Third.
Oh, well, I guess after. Yeah.
Yeah. So like having been taking classes year round, winters and summers, taking tons of credit hours because I was doing too many majors. and I got to the pandemic and I was exhausted. And so I'm honestly like kind of shocked to this day that I like made it through the end of that first online semester, like March through May of that year when we suddenly went online.
Yeah, and that was my last semester ever. So that was super anticlimactic.
Yeah, it was the worst for all involved.
Yeah, everybody.
But then I also feel like like as the pandemic went on and then like new variations of COVID started going around, everyone then got tired of the pandemic. Yeah. And so you had kind of a second round of burnout happening.
Yep.
It really, like, looking back, it really is a miracle that we are, like, still here and still podcasting, given, like, it feels like there have been 10 years of world events in between when we started. Yeah, and where we are now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way to ground us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to keep us talking to each other, too.
For real.
Especially now that we're 1,000 miles apart. Off topic, but do you remember where you were when you realized that everything was going to be turned upside down, like when they announced that the school was going to shut down and everything?
Yeah. So our school held, ironically, a big like group gathering. It was kind of an emergency town hall, if you will, where they invited like students and parents like, hey, come in, we're going to discuss what's going on with this like weird pandemic thing that might be rolling around. And at the time, like, it literally did not cross my mind that we might be going home.
Yeah, I was wishing that we wouldn't.
Yeah,
because it was honestly my last semester, so I wanted to do all the last things.
I was like, I feel like the worst thing that could happen is like we like go to school online from our dorm rooms for a couple weeks and then like we go back to classes.
Right.
But ironically, so they're having this town hall event where our university president was announcing the shutdown of the school. And I was directly below the sanctuary in the music department library.
Oh.
Because I had a huge midterm the next morning.
Oh man.
In one of my music classes. And so me and literally every other music student that was in that class were all like locked in the music library together studying. Because we figured like if anything dramatic happens in this event, like someone will text us.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like all of us were like, the most important thing right now is this midterm. Like nothing that dramatic could possibly happen.
It's this midterm that is definitely going to happen.
Yeah. And then I remember when the email went out after mm-hmm. the event finished and basically a wave of phones went off in the music library because all of our parents started calling us.
Yeah.
And that was the moment where I was like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
Like this is serious.
I was working an event. There was a double junior recital,
mm-hmm.
and they did great. I felt really bad for those girls because, of course, everybody was thinking about like what's going to happen in that meeting over there.
Yeah,
because it was happening at the same time, and I was supposed to work the event, and I got there. Like, I had set the lights and everything. I got there, and this random other music student had taken my place and I was not informed.
On lighting?
It was like lighting or graphics or something. And we didn't know each other, so we were just kind of standing there awkwardly like, okay. And so just waited through the whole recital. Yeah, like I said, I don't think the entire audience was 100% there.
Yeah.
Because like I especially was thinking like, please don't shut down the school. I hope they don't shut down the school. And so after the recital, everybody walks out into the lobby. And we're all just like anxiously waiting for an update because the thing was still going on.
Right.
The recital was at like 7:30 and the meeting was at 8 or something like that. So it's 8:30. We're standing in the lobby and our friend Joanna, who was also at that recital, apparently her sister was at that meeting and was texting her live updates.
Oh.
And she walks out into the lobby. I remember this so vividly. She said, they're shutting this hoe down. And
I could like hear that in her voice.
And that's how I found out. Yeah, Joe, if you're listening, first of all, I love you. Secondly, that's what I needed. Thank you for that.
Wow.
No beating around the bush, just straight to the point. They're shutting this hoe down.
That is so funny.
And I was standing next to a coworker who was a senior and had his senior recital that weekend. And he had spent so much time preparing for that. And
he recorded an entire album in preparation for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was, I didn't see how he reacted because my brain was like, what? But I know that wrecked him too, because he couldn't give his recital.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like in denial for a long time. And then...
Yeah, it's just like so apocalyptic looking back. Like,
yeah.
Really, like the world just like stopped and shut down. Like in a matter of like a week.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Because the crazy part was... This whole thing happened, like, when we found out our school was shutting down and we were getting sent home. Like, it was a Thursday night.
Yep.
And then Friday morning, we all get an email from one of my music professors saying that we still had to take the midterm.
Great.
So all of us go in and take the midterm. Like, we're all shell-shocked. Like, people were, like, crying walking into the classroom.
Yeah, Friday was so rough. And that's also, Friday is also when the national emergency went out.
Yeah.
And then they shortened the deadline because originally it was going to be everybody needs to be out by next Saturday, by the following Saturday.
Yeah, we had like a week and almost a week and a half to get out.
Yeah, and then the national emergency went out and they were like, no, we need you all to leave on Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was Monday.
I wasn't even, I guess I wasn't, because
because you had to Zoom, right?
Yeah, so I was not worried at first because I was like, oh, like, at the time, my family lived like 18 hours away from me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to take my sweet time. I'm going to hang out with all my friends I love. And then on like the last day that the dorms are open, I'm going to take off. So Friday, I take the midterm. To be honest, I don't even know what I did the rest of the day. Like, I can't remember at all. Like, to be honest, I think I like wiped a lot of it out of my mind. not to be like, oh, it was so traumatic, but it was a lot of sudden stress that none of us were anticipating.
Yeah, I remember those 2 days like, so well.
Friday, I don't remember anything other than I took the midterm and I walked out thinking, I just failed that midterm because I couldn't concentrate the whole time. I was just thinking about COVID.
Right. I bet everybody had a hard time.
Yeah. He had to curve it, as I remember, probably like 20% at least because everyone did so poorly. And then Saturday morning at 5 o'clock a.m. Central Time, which is an hour ahead of where my parents were because they were in Mountain Standard Time. So my mom called me at like 4 a.m. her time.
Wow.
And she was like, you need to get in your car and leave like in the next 4 hours. And I was like, what? And she was like, if you don't leave ASAP, it is very possible they will not let you onto the military base where we live.
Wow.
And I was like, what do you mean? And it was because of the national emergency.
Yeah, they're gonna lock everything down.
Yeah, it was federally decreed. And like the bases and their rules are very tightly tied to what government mandates are in place. And so I just remember I was like, oh my God, holy crap. And so I panic called my friend Bella to come help me pack. And then I posted on my Instagram story in true like Gen Z fashion. And I was like, hey everyone, change of plans. I have to leave like really soon. Like come say bye if you know me. And then I hugged like 20 people in the span of like 3 hours.
Yeah. I didn't get to say bye before you left.
Oh, it was so sad.
I know. I was like, oh.
Well, and the crazy part was I had to leave so fast that I didn't even get all my stuff.
That's true.
Because I had been living in that room for 2 years straight. I'd never taken any of my stuff out of it. And I like called the resident director of the dorm and I was like, please, I don't have time to take my stuff. Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it to my house in time. Like, I'm going to be homeless in my car, like, blah, blah. I'm, like, panicking because it was the end of the world.
Yeah.
And she was like, just take what you need and go. Like, no worries. We'll figure out the rest of it.
Wow.
It was crazy. Like, I look back at it, it like, feels like another lifetime still.
It was a lifetime ago.
Like, there's pre-pandemic and there's post-pandemic.
Yeah.
And, like, it is two completely different worlds, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, that Friday it was originally going to be a dress rehearsal for our big band competition that was going to be that Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
But we couldn't do that anymore. So everybody on the AV team was scrambling to record this dress rehearsal. And so we treated it like a live show and recorded it. And it was crazy. Yeah, and that Thursday, that morning, I went to counseling and talked about, I don't know what I'm going to do if they shut down the school. Because, like, I this is my senior year. I hope they did. Like, I talked about that in therapy. And also my period started that day. It was a rough day.
That's rough.
But yeah, but all my classes were canceled that day. So I was like, sweet, I can just rest today and then go work the recital and everything will be fine. Because I think they announced that town hall meeting like in the morning. I think it was the same day.
Yeah, they announced it same day for sure.
So, well, and I think because my classes were canceled, that probably tells me that my professors knew already that they were going to shut down the school. So that's, they probably were informed ahead of time. Anyway, it was crazy. But yeah, after that recital, I went back to the townhouse where Rachel lived the next year and checked my email. And there it was, the campus-wide email that said, we're shutting the show down. And yeah, I called my parents and sat in my car and cried. Anyway, next question.
Wow.
Pandemic really... really did a number on everyone.
It really did.
We're not gonna, this is gonna be a long episode.
It is, yeah. Let's see. Going back to more closely related to the world of production, this is a great question. What is your favorite console, audio and or lighting?
Well, the only lighting console I've worked with has been Ion consoles. In college, I worked with the Ion 3000, I think it was, is what it was called. And now I work with an Ion XE. I think... between the two of them, let's see. I think I like the 3000 more, I think. It's two pieces as opposed to just one. So you can kind of move it around a little bit more. And I don't know. I just like the layout better. It does pretty much the exact same things. So it's just, I think it really just comes down to layout for me. Because other than that, they're pretty much exactly the same.
Right.
Plus I have a bit of nostalgia for the 3000 because that's what I used in college.
Oh. Yeah, I am not a lighter. In fact, the bulk of my lighting design experience has been via software.
Software is not as fun.
So I don't have the experience of working with a hard console. But I've worked with a lot of audio consoles at this point. So in terms of mixers, guys, I hate to say it. I thought I would be a diehard Yamaha fan my whole life. I have sold out to Allen and Heath.
Allen and Heath has some great consoles. Yeah.
Like bad. I've sold out bad. I'd have to say my favorite console hands down right now is the Allen and Heath Avantis, which is a fairly recent console. And I say that largely because like I've worked pretty closely on one. Like my primary work right now is on an Avantis and I really, really enjoy it. It's just like, it's a pretty big console, but it's also light enough that I see why people in the touring world really, really like it as well.
Ooh, yeah.
Very flexible console. It's super functional, but also very intuitive. Like, because the switch from manufacturer to manufacturer in the world of consoles is pretty difficult sometimes. Like, even in the world of audio, where a lot of the terms carry over, a fader is a fader. A decibel is a decibel. But even then, sometimes you switch to a new console and it feels like you're speaking a new language. And the switch to the Avantis was like seamless for me. I will say though, like my dream mixer that I would love to just like, I just want to try it once. Literally anything by Digico.
Okay.
And I only say that because Digico's mixers are like in the 60,000s and above of dollars. And so, like, if you see a Digico mixer roll into your event, you know your people have money. I just think it'd be cool to try one out because they're considered, like, very highbrow mixing consoles.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious, like, if you would notice a difference. You know what I mean? Because, like, you can make an argument for, like, oh, my console's $100,000. Okay, well, like, if I run signal through my Avantis and your $100,000 mixer, can I make it sound the same as your $100 mixer? Like, let's find out.
Yeah, well, I think it's a combination of console and speakers and equipment and, or like microphones and things like that.
Yeah.
That's what brings up the quality. It's the combination of all of them because you could still have a crap sound with a expensive console.
It is 100% the person working with it as well.
That too, yeah.
I mean, you and I have both seen people work with super cheap systems and come up with great results. Make it sound
amazing, yeah.
Yeah, and we've also seen people work with crazy expensive stuff and it just sounds or looks like garbage. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, it's really fun to talk about the equipment, but if you don't know what you're doing or if you don't practice your craft, it doesn't matter what equipment you have.
Yeah.
To be honest, that's kind of my personal philosophy. But yeah, that was a great question.
I have one here.
Yeah, go for it.
Would you start a yak farm and why?
Would I start a yak farm? Honestly, absolutely not. Yaks probably smell weird and I don't know. They're cute. Like, I would pet a yak. I don't know if I would have a yak farm. I just don't think I'm the farming type. The end.
I don't know enough about yaks to farm them, so.
True that.
What else you got?
All right, next question. This one's good. Are you still on Twitter?
No.
Like, are you not on Twitter as in you deleted your account or you're just not active on there?
I deleted my account and deleted the app, and Twitter is terrible.
So fair.
Awful terrible. And like, sometimes I'll like click on links to tweets and things like that from like other stuff, but I have to remind myself not to dig any deeper than that, because Twitter ruins everything.
Yeah.
Like, that's the mantra that plays through my head every time I think about possibly getting back on the Twitter. Twitter ruins everything. They're bringing up the character limit to like something insane. Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's gonna be awful. Yeah. It's bad enough as it is.
Well, yeah, I think the idea is that like, oh, because you can't make a good point in just 280 characters or whatever it is right now. But no, that's just going to make it worse by making it more, as there's going to be a lot more
useless dialogue,
people using more words to say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Or to say just what the people around them are saying.
Yeah.
Twitter is horrible. No more.
To be honest, like, as those of you who may follow me on socials may have already discovered, I recently have been on kind of a social media break that started as something temporary and really like is really leaning towards something more permanent. I hate to say it. Well, no, I don't hate to say it because I stand by it. And here's why. For me, I really, really love specifically like Twitter and Instagram. I really, really enjoyed for a long time. Like, it was a fun place to connect with friends and see what everyone was up to. And for me, like, not really living in one place consistently in my life, like, social media has been a great way for me to stay connected with people, because otherwise it'd be a lot easier to just lose contact with those people or not know what's going on in their lives. With that said, I got to a point in December where I could just no longer ignore the toll that social media was taking on my mental health.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even think. Like, just one day I just deleted everything. Like, without like a conscious thought, I just opened my phone and I deleted Snapchat, I deleted Twitter, I deleted Instagram, I deleted Facebook, like all of it.
Yeah, never had Facebook or Snapchat, and at this point I have no desire.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, like, my opinions are my opinions. And so if you're listening to this, know that I have no judgment and I don't prescribe what I believe upon someone else who is listening and like is active on their social media and enjoying it. But for me, social media at this point is so full of ads and is so driven by the algorithm that the reasons that were keeping me on social media, which were connecting with people, are just no longer happening as it is.
Yeah.
And so I don't have a reason to put my brain through that anymore. And so I got off social media, and it was at first just going to be for the month of December. And then throughout January, like, I'll occasionally re-download Instagram to like respond to messages or to like, you know, like for today, like post a little Q&A thing. But largely, like, I'm not on Twitter right now, and I'm also not anywhere else.
Good for you.
Thank you. I don't see myself as morally superior because, like, I've chosen to be off socials by any means. Because I've had friends who jokingly are like, oh, Rachel, like, you think you're so intellectually superior because you don't have Instagram. Like, no, dude, like, at the end of the day, like, I just did it for my mental health. That's the only reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very particular about who I follow. Like, I make sure it's just people I know, so that is what it's for, is for keeping up with people.
Yeah.
And sometimes when those people only use their accounts to post stuff political, then they're gone. So that's not what I'm there for.
Yeah, for me, it's just like, I feel like I open my Instagram and I see at least 3 ads.
Yeah, the ads are rampant.
Like, the ads are rampant. I'm like, sorry to be that old person complaining about it. Like, the ads are ridiculous at this point, just in how much they pop up and in how much you have to see. And then, like, also my feed where I see people's posts, like, I see maybe 2 or 3 posts at the top. And then past that, it's all like suggested posts and ads. So it's like, I don't even get to see content from the people I follow anymore. It's just ads and algorithm, ads and algorithm.
Yeah, there's like ads and suggested posts. Like, that's, yeah. I don't like that at all.
And like, that's not adding any value to my life.
Adding.
Like, if anything, it like directly detracts from my ability to connect with others. Because I spend so much time immersing my brain in corporate ads and suggested posts about celebrities and people I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I have a folder on my desktop full of screenshots of your old tweets.
Oh, gosh. incredible. I will say, I am funny. Like, my Twitter was funny when I was active on it.
I was going to say, I want to read some of these. There's no greater relief than turning my screen brightness down and putting on my reading glasses. Yes, I am elderly. Send tweet.
I don't remember tweeting that, but it sounds like something I would say.
Just cried for 2 hours, composed myself, and then started sobbing again over a picture of a baby. Screw you, Lexapro. I'm assuming that's a medication.
Yeah, it's a medication for those of us with depression.
Good morning. Today I was so tired that I put 2 contacts in 1 eye. How's your day going?
I'm so dead.
Y'all ever just take the spiciest sip of peppermint tea? Last night I got 68 upvotes when I told Reddit that flamingos can drink boiling salt water, so I'd say my career in sharing random facts with others is going really well.
That was so true.
It wasn't even that funny. Me at 8 p.m. Ha ha, I can drink this coffee and still stay on a normal human schedule. Me at 1:15 a.m. What if ice cream was as crunchy as ice cubes?
When was that?
March 26, 2020, so early in the pandemic days.
Okay, yep, that checks out. I will say I was very active on Twitter during the pandemic because I had nothing to do.
Let's see. I just turned in an assignment 3 days late and then audibly told myself I was a bad 3, so I'd say Enneagram culture is doing great things for me.
Yep.
Just tried to email a professor via this write tweet function because the Twitter icon and Outlook icon are both blue, so I think it might be time to go to bed. I'm just really struggling with the idea of holy incest right now, overheard in the honors library.
Look, I will say the algorithm may not add value to my life, but I add value to the algorithm.
So true.
Oh, man.
Do you want to get into some of the would you rathers?
I'm trying to think, because I low-key I have to go in like 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of wondering if we save them for the next episode.
Okay.
Or some like do like a part 2 or something.
All right, we'll do a part 2
if you're good with that.
Yeah,
we can just say like episode 101 randomness part 2.
Yes.
Or whatever.
All right, friends, stay tuned for part stew.
Oh, goodness. Insert conclusion music here. Well, thanks for tuning in to our crazy question answering. Tune in next week to hear us go through your would you rathers and your he's a 10 but.
What?
I literally can't think.
You be sure to follow us here on Spotify. Is that what you said?
No.
What, okay.
I said tune in next week to hear us answer your would you rathers and your there at 10 button.
Okay. And send us more if you have any.
So true.
You can send them to us on Instagram at @Kyrie_Jones, at @KYRI_Jones, or at @RachelHNH. Although Rachel's not on Instagram, so just send them to me. Just send them to me. @KYRI_Jones.
Amazing.
And be sure to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or just wherever you happen to see us. I don't know where we are anymore these days.
True that.
But follow us. And we also have a TikTok at @PostProductionPod that we post to occasionally.
Yep. And besides that, we'll see you when part 2 of this episode drops.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in to our 100th episode / third birthday episode.
Well, we'll call this one the 100th and the next one the third birthday. How about that?
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for tuning in to part 1. We love y'all. And we'll see you in the next episode.
This has been the Post-Production Podcast.
Change.
Goodbye.
Goodbye now.